when clunkers aren't enough.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. A few minutes ago, the government reported retail sales fell unexpectedly from June to July. Analysts were looking for a boost from the popular Cash for Clunkers program. Well, car sales did rise, but not enough to make up for a general retail slump. Meanwhile, the foreclosure problem appears to be getting worse. The private firm Realty Track says 360,000 homeowners were at least 30 days behind on their house payments last month. We get more from reporter Tamara Keith.
Here's another way to look at it. One in every 355 U.S. households is somewhere in the foreclosure process. Realty Track says foreclosure activity is up from June and way up from last year at this time. More than 500,000 people have lost their homes since January. California, Arizona, Florida, and Nevada continue to be the hardest hit. But Illinois saw a spike in activity last month as a foreclosure moratorium ran out there for some homeowners. The continued rise in foreclosures comes even as the Obama administration wraps up its Making Home Affordable program, which aims to help borrowers in trouble by modifying their mortgages. Realty Track says unemployment is now a large factor in the foreclosure problem. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
And one more economic tidbit this morning. New unemployment claims rose slightly last week, but the number of people staying on unemployment fell. Guess what? The recession's over, at least in Germany and France. The two biggest Eurozone economies both said today their GDP grew by 0.3% last quarter. Economists were expecting those numbers to stay in negative territory. Reporter Christopher Wirth has more.
This proof that the economy is growing again comes on the heels of several weeks of better-than-expected news. Manufacturing orders are up in Germany, and consumer sentiment across Europe has been on the uptick, says Stefan Schneider of Deutsche Bank.
Private consumption in Germany has been more or less flat for the last several years, and so seeing private consumption picking up at a time when basically the overall economy is nosediving is a little bit of a surprise.
Schneider says it's an indication that stimulus packages in Germany and France are doing what they were designed to do. French and German workers are also benefiting from wage subsidies and schemes that cut their shifts to part-time instead of laying them off completely. Schneider says that gives consumers the courage to go out there and spend a little. But some of the growth could be attributed to companies simply replacing stock after months of retrenching. Overall, GDP across the Eurozone dropped 0.1% as countries like Spain and Ireland continue to weigh down positive growth, a sign that Europe isn't out of the woods just yet. I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
As for European stocks this morning, they're up about 1% so far. Asian markets went the same way today, with Hong Kong up 2%. Commodities are rising. Oil's near $72 a barrel. Copper, aluminum, nickel, all at their highs for the year. Yesterday, the Fed declared America's recession near an end, and the Dow leapt 120 points and finished at 9,361. The folks who bring you breakfast cereal and candy bars say America's running low on sugar. The Wall Street Journal says Kraft Foods, General Mills, Hershey, and Mars wrote a letter to the U.S. Agriculture Secretary asking him to ease import restrictions. The companies say if we don't bring in more sugar and bring the price down, they're going to have to lay off workers and jack up prices.
American Public Media presents the Marketplace Whiteboard, videos unwrapping the basics of the financial crisis. You can watch them anytime at marketplace.org.
Urban Outfitters said this morning quarterly profits were higher than expected. And it wasn't just from cost-cutting either. Sales of clothes and home goods actually came up. Maybe some of that was college students buying some new stuff before school starts this fall. It's also time for students to reach out to future roommates. The way kids are doing that today is creating new business opportunities, as Youth Radio's Asha Richardson reports.
Amanda Thompson found out she got into Mills College last fall. Mills is a small, all-women school in Oakland, California. And Amanda's joy quickly turned into a job.
I was really excited because it was my top choice. So I decided that I should probably join a Facebook group dedicated to the class of 2013. And when I searched, there wasn't one. So I figured, well, who better to start a Facebook group than yours truly?
I'm going to Mills, too. And I did the exact same thing. I immediately joined Amanda's Mills College 2013 group. So I have dozens and dozens of my classmates. Ashley Battle is my admissions counselor at Mills. And she says the site merely continues online, was started on campus at pre-frosh visits.
Students meet here and they say, oh, let's keep in touch. Oh, you're in Texas. Oh, you're in Arizona. Oh, you're in New York. Oh, I'm not going to see you till August. Well, Facebook me.
But there's more to the Mills 2013 group than just making virtual friends. It's changing the business of admissions at Mills. Now counselors can keep track of students with a personal touch, and they don't have to spend any money doing it.
We kind of will peek and say, okay, well, who's joining the group? Does that mean that they'll be depositing later on and they haven't told us yet?
That peeking has been useful, at least for Battle. In her office, she was the first to persuade a student to come to Mills online.
Her status update said she was choosing between Mills and another school. And I wrote her a very long Facebook message about why she should choose Mills. 2 days later, she was like, I'm coming. I was like, yes.
But we haven't been swept up by the technology completely. The Mills Facebook group did do something old-fashioned last month. We mailed handwritten letters to each other, a more traditional way to say hello. In Oakland, I'm Asha Richardson for Marketplace.
Asha's story was produced by Youth Radio. And finally, we told you this week about the upcoming Chevrolet Volt that's supposed to get 230 miles per gallon. Now Nissan says its new car, the Leaf, will get 367 miles on a gallon of gasoline, which is really weird since the Leaf won't use gasoline. It's all electric. Electric car mileage is supposed to be measured in kilowatt hours per mile, but since nobody would understand that, the car makers fudge things with a gas equivalent. So if a car company tells you its new electric car will get 1 kajillion miles to the gallon, just know that's a rough estimate. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.